worship team for leading us in that. It was beautiful. So I just wanted to recap a little on last week, because this is going to be a series through the book of 1 John. And I just wanted to just kind of refresh your minds on what we've learned. Because, you know, it's kind of long, right? You're busy, so you're thinking about other things. So it's good to recap. So we talked about 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5 last week. And in it, we learned that the author is John, the disciple of Jesus. And he's writing to a church or a community of churches that he's really close with, okay? And he's writing because something happened. A group of people from the church, they broke off, right? They left because they believed different things about God, and that they followed false teachings. So they no longer had this fellowship. So some of these false teachings, we kind of categorized them into three different areas, right? The first one would be theology, right? What we know and believe about God. The second one is in terms of morality, right? Like, how do we live? How do we live in a life that pleases God, that glorifies God? And then the third one is, you know, socially. So how do we interact with other believers? What does that look like? Okay, so I think last week we kind of touched a little upon theology, and this week we'll go into a little more. The people at the church, when they saw like people leaving, they began to question whether the truth that they received from John, they would start to wonder, is that really true? Right? Did John tell us the truth? Because other people are saying that we don't have eternal life, and that they have eternal life, that they know the truth. So they began to doubt. And I think that's kind of natural, because when you see a lot of people believing something, you know, you think, oh, there's some kind of substance to that. So then John, he begins it by saying that, you know, he is an eyewitness of Jesus. Like, he was there. He was, he was there when Jesus was, you know, teaching in the synagogues and temples. He was there when Jesus was on the hillsides, you know, teaching. He was there, you know, when the 5,000 were fed, or he was there when, you know, this leper, he was healed, or the blind received sight. Like, he was there. He heard the teachings. He saw Jesus. He touched Jesus. So he testifies that he knows the knowledge concerning eternal life. He knows this word of life. And we know that the word of life is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Right? Jesus is an embodiment of this eternal life. And that those who fellowship with him, right, with him and the other eyewitnesses, if you fellowship with us, then you are fellowshipping with the God. Right? That this is the truth. If you fellowship with those other people who left, you know, then, and they don't have the truth, if you fellowship with them, then you don't fellowship with God. That's what he's trying to say. So I just want to remind you a little about what fellowship is. So in this context, it's talking about this oneness of community, right? We're participating in the same thing. Right? We believe the same thing. We are about the same thing, right? So we have the same purpose in mind. And that is that we are connected to God and to each other in this eternal life that we have. So I want you to keep this concept of fellowship in mind, and we'll return to it later. So as I was preparing for this sermon, a scene from a movie came to my mind, and it's from the movie Indiana Jones. I'm not sure if like the youth have heard about it or seen it, but Indiana Jones, and this one's, it's the one, The Last Crusade. Okay, so Indiana Jones and, you know, a group of people, they're trying to find this Holy Grail. Okay, it's this cup, and it's supposed to be like, supposedly, it's supposed to be the cup that Jesus used during the Last Supper. Okay, so super special, it's a relic, and if you find it, and if you drink water with it, then you'll have eternal life. So that's the idea. So, you know, people are going crazy over this, right? Because think about like what you could do if you had eternal life, right? So people want this power. You know, you got like, I think they have like Nazis going after it. You got like Indiana Jones and his squad going after it. And it's pretty crazy. And I just want to show you this clip from it. So just so you have a better idea of what it's like. I hope it plays. Yeah. Yummy? Oh, okay. Is there a sound or? Okay, yeah, no, it's all good. It's all good. Yeah. So there's Indiana Jones. I'm just gonna sit down. Yeah. Okay. So Indiana Jones, he's you know the iconic hat, and they just got to like the last room where they need to you know find the cup, the Holy Grail. Yeah. Thank you.
As the true grail will bring you life, the false grail will take it from you.
I'm not a historian. I have no idea what it looks like. Which one is it?
Let me choose.
Thank you, Doctor.
Certainly is the cup of the King of Kings. Eternal life.
So I'm not going to spoil any more of that. You can go watch it in your free time if you want. All right, so we find out from here is that this drinking from this cup is what gives you eternal life. You know you have eternal life if you've drank from this cup. Right? So that's the assurance that you have. And then we're going to continue on learning about what the Bible says about how we know we can have eternal life. Right? And it's going to be very different than what we watched. Okay. So at the end of last week's sermon, we ended with three questions. And does anyone remember those questions? Three reflection questions. You got one? Okay. So how do I know that I have eternal life? Okay. That's good. One. Okay. Yeah. What do I know and what I believe about Jesus or God? Wait, yeah, and the first one, so we got the second one and the third one. The first one was, do I know I have eternal life, right? And then the second one is, how do I know? Right? And then the third one is, what do I believe about or know about Jesus or God, right? So, these questions are really important because knowing if you have eternal life, that's probably one of the most important questions that you could ask yourself. Remember, we talked about this last week. And the second one is, how do I know if I have eternal life? According to this movie, right, drinking from the grail gives eternal life. And this question is important because we want assurance. We want to be sure about it. We want to be sure. And then the third one is, what do I know or believe about God? This is important because this is going to affect how we answer, question one and two. Right? What do we know about God? This is going to affect our answer. So I guess, better yet, did any of you guys actually go through these questions, and actually take the quality time to think about it for yourself? Because, I know, last week it was kind of rushed, and then I think, the other, group, Chinese congregation was trying to come in, and we're trying to leave, and then, I don't know if you had time to do that, but if you didn't have time, I want to give you just, 2 minutes to just go through this by yourself really quickly, okay? Because I'm pretty sure you probably already know the answer. You just need to think through it. So I'm just going to give you, 2 minutes to really think through it. Maybe some of you guys weren't here last week, so. All right. Hope you had enough time. If you didn't, you can continue to think about it, reflect on it after the service. But this week, we're going to go through the rest of chapter 1, and then we're going to go into a bit of chapter 2, just the first two verses of chapter 2. So if you're able, turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. And as you go there, I'm just going to start reading. I'm using the English Standard Version. So it says, "This is the message we have received from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the world." So beginning in verse 5, John, yet again, he's reminding the people, this church, the recipients of this letter, that he is a witness, okay? So listen to me. I've been there. I know Jesus. I have the truth. You got to listen. And then John, he goes on to say that there's this message that he has heard from Jesus, the source, and he wants to share it with you. He wants you to know this. This is important. So then, what is this message, right? And if we continue, it says that the message is this, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is how he begins the message, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So what does this mean? Before we can say what it means, we need to understand in what sense John is using the words light and darkness. Right? In the Bible, the terms light and darkness have been used in different ways. Like light and darkness, some people have used it in saying like good and evil. Some people say it in terms of like truth versus like lies. Some people use light and darkness such as like openness versus something that's hidden. Okay, so like which one is it? Like how do we know which one it is? Do we just like choose one like just randomly because maybe it works? No, we don't do that, right? So, but the good thing is we don't have to guess, because in the subsequent passages, in the verses, it's going to be made clear. What does he mean by light and dark? Right? What is light and darkness? Right? And then as we look through these verses, I want you to keep your eyes open because there are clues. Right? So I don't want you guys to miss it. And because the Bible was written such a long time ago, we don't sometimes know the fullness of it. But, based on what we can know from it and do some detective work, we can really get a good understanding. So the fact that this letter was written to address false teachings, we can assume that, if John, he makes a statement saying, God is light, then there's obviously something important there. Like, he's addressing something that the people need to know. So there's a warning. There's a high chance that there's a warning and that he's trying to combat some false teaching. And so, for example, I was chatting. So as we do this, detective work, so there's, this example that came to my mind. I was chatting with my friend earlier this week, and he just took, two exams to be certified, further certified for his job. And he said it was really hard. It was really tricky, those tests. It was multiple choice. And, the first time he took it, he just tried to use the process of elimination. If A and B, though those two are really just strange answers, he might just cross them out immediately. And then let's say C, D, and E are similar. So you're okay, well, know, it might be one of the similar ones, right? So then, but then, like, this test was really tricky. It, like, did it both ways. So sometimes it was, like, the strange one. Sometimes it was just, like, one of the more, like, obvious ones. And then, like, he was trying to actually, like, kind of get into the mind of, like, the person who made this test, actually. So it's really interesting. I don't recommend it, but that's what he did, okay? So, like, in a way, like, that's what we kind of have to do. We need to know the author's intent of this letter. And we do that by, you know, trying to figure out that. What was he trying to say? Right. So, like, you know, in high school as well, like, there's this group of people, they, whenever they took tests, they always chose C. Right? Because if you choose C all the way down, like, you know, like, averages out, you know, you'll pass the test, something like that. You know, but, like, then there's this teacher who trolled them by, like, making all the answers E or something like that. And it really messed up with them because, like, they're like, it's all E. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, let's start in verse 6. So, starting from verse 6, we'll read a series of if statements. If you read, you'll see, like, you know, if this, you know, if we, you know, we'll go through a lot of if statements. And these statements are evaluations. Okay. John is telling us to check ourselves. Check ourselves. This is how you know if you have eternal life. Evaluate yourselves by these statements. And this is how you know you have eternal life. All right, so let's start in verse 6. It says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So John points out that if you claim to have fellowship with God, okay, if you are claiming to participate in this eternal life, if you have this oneness, this community with God, but you walk in darkness, you know, you do not practice the truth, and you're actually a liar. Right, that's a really strong statement. Right? So to walk, it means that to behave, to live, right? To live your life in this darkness. Right? So some of you guys probably know that I'm on a diet and I cut out a lot of like junk foods. So like I don't eat ice cream, right? Or I shouldn't be drinking boba, but like I've been drinking a lot of boba lately. But it's to be healthier, right? To cut down on the sugar. But if I told you this, that I'm on a diet, but like at the same time, I'm just like, you know, like shoving like spoonfuls of ice cream down my mouth, like that wouldn't make sense, right? It would be like, no, Phil's a liar. He's not on a diet, right? There's inconsistency with my words. Like my actions and my words, they don't match up. They don't match up. So similarly, this is what's happening. If you claim to have fellowship with God and God is light, yet you live in darkness, then how can you have fellowship with God, right? There's this contradiction that's going on. So in essence, John is exposing this hypocrisy that these people that left the church had, right? So the hypocrisy is putting on a false appearance, right? It's basically putting on an act. You're trying to be something that you're not, and or maybe you're doing something, but it's what you're doing and what you're saying is different, right? So these people who broke off from the church claim to have eternal life even though they walked in darkness. Right. Then in verse 7, John shows how fellowship with God should look like. Right. If you go there, it says, and it says that, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Right. So this is what it should look like. Instead of walking in darkness, you should be walking in the light as God is in the light. Right, so basically John is saying that if we are living in the light, then we truly have fellowship with God. But at this point, we still don't know like what is this light and what is this darkness. He's just using these words. Right? But what we do know is that light and dark, they're contrasts, right? They're like opposites almost. So that's what we know so far. So take this clue. This is a clue he's giving us. And then at the end of verse 7, if you go there, it says that the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So I think this is the hint that he's giving us to tell us what this light and darkness is. It's about sin. So those that walk in the light are the ones who have their sins cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So I know sometimes this creeps people out. They're like, oh, like blood, being cleansed by the blood, like that sounds creepy. Like, you know, who would want to like wash their hands in blood, right? Like, what does that mean? It sounds nasty. But it's a metaphor that John uses. To be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. That what that means is that Jesus' work on the cross, when he died on the cross for your sins, he paid your sins so that if you believe in him, your sins are no more. Right? Before God, you are clean. That's what it means by washing you, that you are clean before God. Even though you still sin, but God sees you as clean. So from this we know that the metaphor of light and darkness is referring to sin. And God is light, meaning therefore that God is, you know, that God is good, that he's holy, that he's righteous, right? That he's not evil and he's not sinful. Right? So then if we read the rest of this passage again, with this in mind, it might become a little clearer. So let's go back to verse 6 now. Right? Just now we're in 7. Let's go back to 6. So let's read it like, you know, using the words, righteous, you know, good, holy. So if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in sin, right, we lie and do not practice the truth. So if you're living a life of sin, meaning like you're living freely in sin, like you don't really care what God thinks, you don't care about the consequences, you know, there isn't any evidence of godly remorse, okay, or repentance, then that's what it looks like to live in sin. Right? That you don't care what God thinks anymore. You just want to do your own thing. You want to live your own life. So then it comes to this first evaluation, okay? So we got evaluations, right? Every statement here is evaluation. So one, do I call myself a Christian but walk in darkness? So I want you to evaluate yourself. Do I call myself a Christian but walk in darkness, walk in sin? So the result of that, basically the consequence of that is this. If you walk in darkness, then you are putting on act and only have the appearance of fellowship with God. So if you claim to have fellowship with God, but you're walking in sin, like you just don't care, you just want to do your own thing, you know, you don't want to obey God's commandments, you know, like loving God, loving one another, things like that, then there's a high possibility that you're walking in darkness and you perhaps don't have fellowship with God. You don't have eternal life. So I'm just going to give you like a minute to think about this. And think, you know, is this me? Is this me? Okay. Then verse 7, let's continue using these words of sin and, you know, like holiness, goodness. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, so if we walk, you know, in what is right, okay, if like as he is in the right, okay, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we live righteously, if you actually try to do what's right, then that's exactly what's good. That's a good thing. So then it comes to the second evaluation, is this. Do I call myself a Christian and walk in the light? Right, so this is kind of the opposite of the first one. So the consequence of this, the result of this, is if I do walk in the light, then I can clearly observe that I have fellowship with other believers and that my sins have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So is this you? Are you walking in darkness or the light? Evaluate yourselves. Think about it. You guys know yourselves better than I know you. So I hope it's kind of starting to make sense, these evaluations that John is giving out to you, so that you know. I hope it's starting to make a little more sense. Maybe I've confused you more. I don't know. Well, hopefully it'll become more clear. But yeah, take a minute to think about this. Okay. And then verse 8. Let's go to verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So what we get from here is that some of the people left the church believed that they had no sin. But like, what does it mean to have no sin? Like, is it just like you've never sinned before? Or you don't sin again, or what does that mean, right? So to get a better idea, we go to the Gospel of John, because it's the same author. So we kind of want to see how he uses this phrase more times to get a better idea. Because we don't just want to randomly guess, right? Because we want to know for sure. So John uses this phrase in the Gospel of John about four times. He uses the phrase to have sin. So when he uses it in the Gospel of John, he's referring to the guilt of sin, or the responsibility that one has for sinning. The responsibility that you have for your sin. So in this sense, verse 8 is saying that, you know, that these people that left the church, they didn't feel responsible for their sins anymore. So if you take it one step further with this idea, it's like saying that if you're a Christian now, you can commit any sin you want, and because God has already cleansed you, right, through the blood of Jesus, then you can just freely do whatever you want, and then still have eternal life. And then these people, they abuse this in that way. So like sometimes I'll hang out with my friends who are not necessarily believers, and they might say something like, "Oh hey, you know, are Christians allowed to drink alcohol?" And to which I'll say, "Yes, you know, they are allowed to drink alcohol, but you know, we shouldn't get drunk." And then they'll say something like, "Oh, but you know, like, but if you get drunk, you know, don't you just ask for forgiveness, right? You know, just tell God you're sorry, and then it's all good." Right? I mean, yes, sure, that's true. Like, if I sin, then I can ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive me. But does that mean that I have just like a free pass to just do whatever I want, regardless, right? And I think what John is saying here is no, you don't do that. You are responsible for your actions, for how you live. Okay, even though God has forgiven us. So the third evaluation is this: do I call myself a Christian, but my actions show that I'm not responsible for living morally according to God's standards? It's kind of a mouthful, but so do I call myself a Christian, but my actions, you know, don't show that I'm responsible for living morally? So that, because we know that actions show what we really believe, right? Not our words, it's our actions, what we do, right? And the consequence is this, right? If I believe that it doesn't matter how I live, then I deceive myself and I don't know the truth. Deceiving yourself meaning you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. You're believing a lie. You're telling yourself a lie. And you're saying that's truth. You deceive yourself. So I want to take another minute to think about this. Is this you? Do I call myself a Christian, but I don't really care how I live? And then in verse 9, John comes to this. He says, so this is nice. This is like a nice verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So like I like the sound of this verse more, like, because it sounds nice. Like, you know, God's faithful, he's just, you know, he forgives us, right? Not about like, oh, you know, I'm living like in a like against God's commandments, right? So I don't know if you guys remember a sermon that I preached a few weeks ago. It's about the unmerciful servant, right? How he owed like a debt to his master, but he couldn't pay it back. It was so great. But then his master, because of his mercy, he canceled the debt, right? He forgave the debt. That's what it means. And he let him go. And then this servant, he went and he found a fellow coworker, and then said, and then like choked him and said, you know, you need to pay me like these 100 days of wages, which is really insignificant compared to the debt that he owed his master. All right. So we learn about how God forgives us, and he forgives all. Okay. He remembers it no more. He doesn't hold it against us anymore. All right. So this is what it means by, you know, he forgives us. Right. So when we think about him being faithful and just, It goes back to what we believe about God, what we know about God. So where do you think this falls under? Does it fall under morals or like how we act, how social, how we act towards other people, or is it like theological? Is it about theology? Right? That God is just, that he is faithful. It tells us something about God, right? So if we don't believe these things about God, then we're going to have a hard time believing that he's just going to forgive our sins. So here, faithful, it means that he's dependable, that he's trustworthy. Okay, that we can believe that God will do what he says. So if he says he's going to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, then he's going to do it. Right? He's faithful in doing that. You can be sure of that. No matter how many times you sin, he's going to do that. I think this is a concept that many people struggle with, because they might say, like, oh, like, I've done too many bad things in my life. Like, you don't understand. I've done really bad things. You know, God's not going to accept me. God's not going to forgive me this time. But no, that's not true. Like, even if you feel like you fail in this area, that you keep sinning, no matter how big or small it is, how many times God forgives you, that's his faithfulness. And not only is God faithful, but he is also just. He is also just in forgiving and cleansing. So the word just is interchangeable with righteousness. Okay? So that God is in the right. Okay? So how can we say that God acts righteously in forgiving sinners? How can that be right? Because isn't a just God supposed to condemn sinners? Isn't he supposed to punish them for their sins? Right? So, like, how could he be just? But before, we go on to that, I'm just going to go to this fourth evaluation. Right? I don't know if these are too many evaluations, if you're already, like, sick of this, but this is what John wants us to know, so I'm going to tell you guys as well. Do I click this way? Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, so, as a Christian, do I confess my sins to God? As a Christian, do I confess my sins to God? Is this something that I'm doing? Because if I've stopped doing this, then it's almost like saying, it's not important anymore. Like, my sins aren't important. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. Or it also means that maybe you want to hide something from God. Like, or you're embarrassed or ashamed that, I can't come to God to tell him that I'm wrong and ask for forgiveness. That we've actually, trying to, distance ourselves. Right? So do I confess my sins to God? And the consequence is this. If I do so, he is faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Right? So then let's go back to what it means by God being just. Can God be just by forgiving? Is that possible? So if we go to the next two verses in chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "My little children, I am writing these things to you, so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So it's saying here that that John hopes that the Christians won't sin, okay? When they receive this letter, he doesn't want them to sin. Right? But he also knows that, but we're going to, right? Because we're not completely like sanctified yet. Right? We're in the process. Hopefully, as we mature, we'll sin less. But it's still going to be there. So he says that if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So advocate meaning someone who is there for our defense. Someone who's there for our defense. But defending like against who, right? So God is just. He punishes sin, but we have an advocate, Jesus, who's there for us and says, but look, even though he's a sinner, I died in his place. I already took the punishment. And Jesus can say that. He's the only one that can say that because he is fully God and fully man. He had temptations, but He overcame them. He never sinned. He lived a perfect, righteous life. And that's why his life can substitute for ours. So I know there's like a really big like theological word, propitiation, right? Propitiation, right? In the second word. Like if you want to impress people, you can just use that word, propitiation. So what it means is this, is that it's to appease the wrath. Okay, it's to turn the anger away that's no longer directed at you. And this is what Jesus did, is that we as sinners, we incur the wrath of God because he's holy. But Jesus was the one that turned that away. He is the propitiation for our sins, right? He's the one that appeased the wrath of a holy God. So this passage, you know, seems a little heavy on like the Christian side, right? It's all directed at Christians, like evaluate yourselves. But then I like this last part because it's also directed a little towards non-believers. So at the end of verse 2, right, chapter 2, verse 2, it says this. And I want you to pay attention if you're not a Christian, right? If you know you're not a Christian, okay? I want you to pay attention to this. It says this. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Right? And not for ours only, meaning Christians, but also for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus can be your advocate as well. Okay? Not only for Christians, but also for, if you're not a Christian, he can be your advocate. Right? Your sins can also be forgiven. You can also be cleansed from unrighteousness. It doesn't matter like how many bad things you've done or evil things or how wicked you are or how, you know, it doesn't matter because Jesus' righteousness is sufficient. So I want to ask you that if you would like to know more about this, if you would want to know more about Jesus and what he means to us, what does he mean to you? I want to talk with you more about that. And I hope that Elder Jerry would be available as well. So Elder Jerry here, I'm sure most of you guys know. Yeah, that you, please, you know, talk to us. And we know we want to talk to you a lot more. So just a quick recap. I'm just going to go to the next one. Thank you, Howard. Is this chart. Okay, so this chart just kind of breaks down everything I talked about. Maybe I talked way too much already and I confused you guys, but this should break it down. Okay. So on the left side, we have no fellowship of eternal life with God. And on the right side, we have fellowship of eternal life with God. Right. So on the left side, if you're walking, if you're living in darkness and sin, right, and evil, then it's a warning sign, right? And then next one, if you live as if you have no responsibility for your sin, for your life, right? You just live carelessly and you don't care, then that's also a warning sign. And I call this the danger zone, okay? That's a danger zone. You don't wanna be on this side. Right? On the right side we have walking in the light, right? Doing what's right and responsible living by doing what's right, okay? And the second one is what? Confessing our sins to God. Confessing our sins to God. Then this is the safe zone. You're doing well. You're on the right track. You know, you can know that you have eternal life. But let's say you really believe that you're a Christian, okay? And that you do believe that you have eternal life, but you happen to be on the left side right now. Okay. That could be possible, okay? Like you truly believe that you have eternal life and that you have fellowship with God, but you happen to be like on the left. You know, I would say, you know, you're in the danger zone, right? I'm not going to be one to judge, you know, whether you know your heart, or I'm not going to be able to judge your heart. Only God can do that. But I would want to warn you that you're not in a place that you want to be. Okay. But then after today, learning the truth, okay, I hope that you would want to accept the truth and then want to kind of move from this side of the danger zone to the safe zone, right? That's my hope, is that if you're a Christian, if you really believe you're a Christian, but you're here and you want to go here, like, I encourage you to do that, okay, to do that, make that change. If you have any questions, like, please feel free to ask me more, like, you know, during Sunday school or something. But yeah, you want to be here, not here. Okay. So just like Indiana Jones, you know, we see that people drink from this Holy Grail, they have eternal life. We as Christians can know that we have eternal life if we're on this side. Right? If we're on this side, we can know, right? Just like Indiana Jones. Right? We can know that if we are walking the light and confessing our sins, that we are on the right track. Okay? These things are proof that we have eternal life and that we have fellowship with God. But this isn't it. This isn't the end, right? In the next few weeks, we're going to unpack more things and we're going to add more things to these charts. Right? We're going to add more things on how we can evaluate ourselves. So I really hope that you guys will take the time to think this through and to take it seriously, because this is like one of the most important questions that you could ask yourselves, okay? And I know this was probably like tough, it might have been tough to listen to, because right? you're here right now, right? So it might be really hard to listen to, but I hope it doesn't end there for you. Right? I hope it doesn't end there for you. Right? So, let's end in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you're faithful, you're just, you're loving, and you're forgiving as well. That you want us to be saved. You want us to know that we have salvation, that we have eternal life. Lord, help us, you know, illuminate our minds, Lord, to really think about where we are. Because this is so important, God, that, you know, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we can have eternal life. So help us to be honest, to really reflect on it. And as we hear these truths, that we would receive them and that we would live them out. Lord, empower us with your Holy Spirit to live this life. Help us to walk in the light as you are in the light, for you are light. Lord, thank you, Lord, for just speaking to us today. And just ask that you would bless these listeners, that they would take it to heart. Continue your good work in us. Lord, pray this in the name of Jesus.